Bibles this morning, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you remember, last couple of weeks, we've been in Romans 6 for the last couple Sundays, and we're going to review that, and then we'll come to Romans chapter 8. So let's review, turning back to a few pages, Romans chapter 6, and in verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And then the word, "God forbid," and we see that a couple of times in this passage. We see that God says, in essence, now that we're saved, all right, through the, this is Paul giving some instruction here. He's saying, all right, are we supposed to just continue in sin now that we're saved? And he seems to be addressing even today's argument. There are folks that disagree with our concept of eternal security, and they say, you know what, you guys that preach this all, once saved, always saved, what you're doing is giving a free license to sin. Well, 2,000 years ago, there was people still saying, they were saying the same thing back then, and so Paul addresses this and saying, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then he gives us some ideas here. Verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And so 2 weeks ago we discussed this idea that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that is, "Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation." And the idea is that once we are saved, we have found new life. God has given us new life. Then we went down to verse 13 last week. And in verse 13, it says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead." That's our new life. "And then your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So not only new life, but we have a new master. So God has given us new life. He's given us a new master. And today we're going to look at the idea in chapter 8 that not only has he given us new life and a new master, but he's given us new power. And that's what's amazing. He's given us that new power. Reader's Digest a few years ago had a funny story, and the story was about an instructor at a truck driving school. And at the truck driving school, he had been teaching for a few days, and then he gave a scenario. And this was the scenario that the instructor gave. He said, "You're in an 18-wheeler with a heavy load barreling down a mountainous two-lane highway. Ed is your co-driver, and Ed is fast asleep as your co-driver. He has no clue that you're barreling down that mountainous road with a heavy load. He is under the heavy load of sleep. And there are six trucks behind you. And as you come over the top of the hill, one of the trucks behind you pulls out into the left lane to pass you." This sounds typical. I think this is right here on 94 or somewhere. "And as he comes alongside you, you see several trucks coming at you from the opposite direction. One of the trucks coming at you is in your lane because it is passing an oncoming truck." So here it is. All four lanes are filled up then. All four lanes. Two going this way, two coming this way. "There are five trucks behind, one beside you, several trucks in front of you. The two out in front have both lanes blocked." And the instructor looks at the students and says, "What are you going to do?" One student sitting there just yelled out, you know, it's truck driving school, you don't raise your hands, all right? He just yelled out, he goes, the answer's simple. He said, "I'd wake up Ed." And the instructor's like, "Why in the world would you wake up Ed?" And the student said, because Ed ain't never seen a truck wreck like this before. All right, now, I would propose to you that Christians don't have to wait for a potential wreck with the flesh before they try to prevent a tragedy. You don't have to be saying, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, God gives us instruction, and we're going to look at that this morning. Look at the end of chapter 7. Remember, we're looking at chapter 6, I have a new life, I have a new master. But then in chapter 7, if you just take chapter 7 by itself, you'll be depressed. But chapter 7 is in context with 6, 7, and 8, and actually chapter 5 also. But if you look at the end of chapter 7, well, let's move up a little bit to look at verse 15. This is, and what I say, this is some of the only verses that some Christians know. In verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Look at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. All right, and these are the two verses that almost every Christian has memorized as an excuse when they get in trouble. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. So they come to the principal, they're in trouble at school, and just say, you know what? I'm just being like the Apostle Paul. That's all I'm doing. I don't understand it. I can't control myself because, as Paul said, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. So I guess I'm in the same category as the Apostle Paul. Now, if I do that, that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So here is this great problem, but we forget the end of the passage. So what's the end of the passage? Look at verse 24. Paul comes to a conclusion. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He answers it. Look at the next verse. I thank God. What? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. This morning we want to look at five truths to victorious living with this new power. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. I pray that you would give liberty. Help us as we've been trying to build this idea of new life and a new master. And now we look at this new power. How can we have victorious living? Lord, you promise us you can help us. Lord, I pray that we would look at scriptures, we would obtain what you have for us this morning through the scriptures, that we truly can experience that new power to see this flesh defeated. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Five truths to victorious living through this new power. Notice in verse 24, it says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me through this, from the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in chapter 8, it goes right into it. Chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them. Notice what it says. Who are what? In Christ Jesus. So what's point number one? Point number one, and I'm going to give you five truths or five helps to victorious life through this new power. First of all, it is only through Christ I have new life. I have a new pastor, right? I have new life, a new master, and I have new power. It is only through Christ. That's truth number one. It is not through yourself that you are going to defeat this flesh. Now, you will notice, and I was even studying this yesterday some, but in chapter 6 and in chapter 7, you will see the word sin and flesh almost interchanged. A lot of times when the Bible uses sin, it's talking about maybe it's talking about murder, or maybe it's talking about different things. But in chapter 6, in the context, when it says, who's going to deliver me from sin and who's going to deliver me from these things? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. It's using that idea as the flesh. And this is what you got to understand. In my flesh dwells no good thing. In your flesh, there is no good thing. And you would say, man, then how am I supposed to overcome as a Christian? Thanks be unto God, which always gives us the victory, causes me the triumph. That's Corinthians. So I cannot have victory. This new power doesn't come because you are such a good person. This new power comes because I have found Christ. That's why I can have victory. Victory will not come through you. It will not come through you all of a sudden developing some self-help program. No, what's going to happen is the more self that you let reign in your mortal body, the more defeat and the more depression, the more despair that will come upon you, because in Christ I have new life. In Christ I have new master. In Christ I have a new power. In Christ. There was an organist, and it was an organ that was very famous. It was called the Freiburg Cathedral. And in the Freiburg Cathedral, this organ was just famous. And there was an old organist that would come in and play it for the church. His fingers, though, had lost their skill, and then he was made custodian of this organ. One day, a visitor came into the cathedral, to this Freiburg Cathedral, and asked if he could play the organ. The custodian looked at the man and said, no, you're not allowed to. No one but myself and the present organist has ever touched these keys. The custodian objected. The visitor pleaded and said, come on, can I just try it? This is a famous cathedral. This is a famous organ. I would just like to touch the keys. He pleaded, and finally, the custodian, who used to be the organist, said, I'll let you touch or maybe play a few notes. The visitor slipped into the seat, touched one note, then another, then he ran his fingers over the keys, and then he filled the cathedral with such beautiful music that the organist sat down entranced. When the visitor finished, the old custodian hobbled up to him and asked him his name. The man said, my name is Felix Mendelssohn. And until the end of that man's life, the custodian, the old organist, would explain over and over again, to think I almost missed hearing Mendelssohn play on my organ. I almost missed it. Why? Because he said, nobody is going to touch this organ. Don't you know? I think that's what happens many times when we find Christ. Many times when we find Christ, we're so excited about eternal security and we're so excited about eternal life, but we forget that Jesus Christ not only promised eternal life, but he promised abundant life in this life. So why not take your hands off your life? Why not allow Christ to step in? And what you'll find is he can take a mess. He can take a misery. He can take despair. He can take depression. He can take destruction. And he can all of a sudden put it together. And people are like, wow, that's beautiful. Why is it beautiful? Because in Christ, I have new power. In Christ, there is beauty. In Christ, there is wonder. In myself, there's nothing. In your life, there's nothing good. And on your own, there's nothing good that you can do. But in Christ, he's given me new power. The first lesson here in this passage, it is only through Christ that I have this new power. It is not in me. And so when something good happens in my life, some of you sitting here, you've seen victories. You can put it in context when you keep it biblical, and that is, it's not me. And it's not you when you have victory. It's Christ. Nothing for me to brag about. All I can say is thanks be to God. Glory to God that He has done this. There's nothing for me to be arrogant about. Nothing for me to get cocky about. Why? Because it's through Christ. First of all, it's only through Christ that I have new life. Now let's go down. We saw verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Notice the next phrase. Who walk not what? After the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Look at what it says again. Who walk not what? After the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Look it down in verse 9. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So all in this context, what is it saying? First of all, it's only through Christ that I have new power. But then this power is through the Spirit. This power is through the Spirit. It's not, it's by the Holy Spirit coming in and indwelling us. And I understand there's an indwelling and there's an empowering. Some people think that there's not two. I believe theologically that there's two. I believe that there's an indwelling and I believe there's an empowering, or some might call it the baptism of the Spirit, and then an empowering or a filling of the Spirit. And some people get confused. Well, when I get saved, I am baptized into the Spirit. The Spirit of God is all in me. I have all of it that I need. But this is what happens. What happens is I do not allow the Spirit to have control in my life. I do not allow Him to reign like He should. I am not sensitive like I should be. So let me give you a couple points under this to help us out. This power is through the Spirit. So what do I need to do to allow the Spirit to give me victory? This new power, it's the Spirit of God. What do I need to do so that I can see victories in my life? Well, under this, the first thing I need to do is I need to ask the Spirit every day to fill me and take control. Every day. Now, some of you may not understand why you have to do it. And the reason is that every day I get up and this flesh is here. I was talking to my class this morning as far as the idea of justification and sanctification. And justification, that is set. It is something that happens when I'm saved. But my sanctified body, when do I pick up my sanctified body? In heaven. So guess what I need to do every day? All right, this body, it's the old flesh. I don't have a new flesh when I get saved. And so every morning, this flesh gets up with me, and the Spirit, that inner man, is, I need to strengthen it. I need it powerful. How do I make it powerful? I need the Holy Spirit's power. It's through Him. It's through Christ and through the Spirit's power that I can have victory. So I must then build it. And so I must surrender to Him every day. Say, God, take control of me. This flesh, it wants to fight me today, and I need to suit up, ready to go. Ready to fight. And so I ask the Spirit every morning to fill, take control. Then secondly, I need to be sensitive throughout the day. That means when I'm driving to work. That means when you're driving to work. That means at lunchtime. Maybe it's even during the day, you can slip a 3x5 card, or you can slip something into your pocket and you can be getting the Word of God, because the Word of God gives power, it gives strength. And I need to be sensitive, because you know what will happen during the day? This happened just recently to me. Right? There was a day, it was just the other day, and I was talking to somebody, and then the next morning I was praying, and God said, hey, you need to go talk to that person again. It seems like you were just a little more in the flesh than you need to be. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Some of you don't have victory because what you do is you get up in the morning and you pray and you forget about it all day. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And what you'll find is that then when you reach for something, when you go to click on the internet, when you go and stop at the drugstore, you go here or there, and all of a sudden you maybe take a look or you're tempted. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit will say, stop that. Don't do it. Some of you let your mouth, you may not do drugs, you may not do alcohol, but you let your mouth run rampant. And the Holy Spirit's been trying to get a hold of your mouth. We sang it, take my lips, right? Take my life, take my feet, offer them to the Lord. You say, oh, I don't know about that. Hey, you trusted him for your eternal security. You think God isn't good enough on this earth to take care of you? And can't he control your lips? He has your eternal security set. Then trust him here on this earth. Ask him. The power to overcome is through the Spirit. So what do I need to do? Ask the Spirit every morning to fill and take control. Be sensitive to every movement of the Spirit's leading. This could be as simple as not taking a route. There's been some times that maybe I'm praying or I'm driving somewhere and I'm not trying to get all spooky, but God will say, hey, why don't you go this way? I've read stories. I've talked to some folks and they always go a certain way and God just, maybe it was an accident or something and they just went a different way. And it was amazing what they avoided. Sometimes God will lead you that way. He'll just take you around things. That's the beauty of this new power that we have. The new power is through Christ, and it's through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide us every moment of every day. And then what I also think is that I need to review what the Spirit does in my life. Review it. Now, I'm big on journaling. Right? I talk to our young people about that. All right, when we go back and we read people's lives, we love their journals, looking at what God did in their life. And I don't journal. In fact, yesterday I was pulling mine out, and I do a couple entries a month. But now I've been doing a couple entries a month for over 20 years. So you know what I'll do? I'll pull it back, and I can remember I was in the summertime. I pulled it, and I looked back to about 12 years ago. And 12 years ago or 15 years ago, I just write down things that God is doing in my life or in the ministry. And it was just interesting because I was looking through that and I had a couple of teenagers that, man, they were giving me fits. And so their names were listed there. And I was laughing because now they're married, serving the Lord. And I thought, yep. God's powerful. He's mighty. Because what it shows is that, you know, don't give up. God's powerful. He's mighty. And you see the Spirit leading and moving through your life. It's very important. So what do we see about this new power? This new power, first of all, we said that it is only through Christ. Secondly, this power is also manifested by the Spirit. Thirdly, look at chapter 8 and verse 10. If Christ be in you, chapter 8 and verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Go down to verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do, what's that word? Mortify the deeds of the flesh. All right, so let's think about that. Mortify. It's not a normal term. I don't think too many people have come up to me recently and said, hey, you know what? I'm just working on my mortification. Like, okay. Wow, dude. right, yeah. All right, so what does it mean to mortify? All right, well, let's think of a term. Where have we heard that term? There is a job. It's called a mortician. So we're starting to get a clue. What does a mortician deal with? Death. So what is the Bible telling me to do? To mortify something. In other words, I need to, I like this. Now, my flesh likes this term right here. I get to kill something. Yeah, I get to murder it. Now, what do I get to murder? What do I get to kill? Ooh, I don't like that. The deeds of the body. So what is, how do I experience this new power? The power comes through Christ. It's manifested through the Spirit, and it expects me to act by mortifying the deeds of this flesh. No, what does it mean? What does it mean to mortify the deeds of this flesh? It means to put it under, to kill it, to put it down. So when you're killing something, now it's applicable. Now it's application time. When I'm killing something, do I feed it? Do I put an IV in it? Do I call the doctor and roll it into the hospital and put the IV up there and pump it? I'm like, yo, it's dying. But that's what some of us are doing with our flesh. God comes in and gives us the ability to see this flesh beat and put down and put under. And guess what some of us do? Oh, it's dying. All right, this isn't your gerbil. This isn't your pet dog. This is something that'll ruin your spiritual life. Because what did the verse, remember in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23? What's the wages of sin? What does sin, what does the effects of the flesh do in your life? The wages of sin is what? Death. It's always death. So you feed that flesh, you keep it alive. Spiritually, what are you bringing into your body? Death. It's death. So guess what I get to do? Through the power of God, through the Spirit of God, he says, you know what? Now you have new life. Now you have a new pastor, I keep on saying, new master. But you know what you need to do? You need to take that new power and let's kill that flesh. You know it and I know it. Man, sometimes this flesh, man, it's just powerful, it's strong. Others times that, man, you get up and this is the story of the Christian life, and I think that's why sometimes we get discouraged. Some, as new believers, they get saved, and man, there's an excitement, and you think everybody is going to be excited with you, and then right away, man, all the friends that are unsaved, they're like, oh, what, you did what? You got religion? They don't want to be around you. Then you have a little bit of a, I call it that honeymoon stage. Man, you're excited about being saved, but then all of a sudden, you sin. Like, wait, I thought I got saved. You did. You're justified. It's forever taken care of. But in this life, guess what you still have? This flesh. And this flesh, woo. Oh, sometimes, man, it is strong. It wants to look at the wrong things. It wants to do the wrong things. These hands and these feet, they want to go to the wrong places. That's this flesh. So how can I win God? Every day, understand that Christ, he's given me this power. It's through the Spirit. And then throughout the course of the day, I need to find what's feeding my flesh. Oh, and this is the fun part. Take out that sword, and the sword is the Word of God. And guess what? Slice and dice it, man. Man, bring it out and just start, kill that flesh. And all right, and I'm not, some of you, you're gonna think this is, you're gonna take it literally here. And so you're gonna come back in tonight and you got slices all over you. Please don't do that. All right, we're talking spiritual battle here. But you know this. My flesh is no different than yours. It's no different. Every day, I got to suit up. And that's Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, God doesn't leave me without battle armor. And he says, get up in the morning and suit up. I was talking with Dr. Bertrell just this week. And I was talking about this same idea. And I was telling him that some people think, and I think a lot of times this happens with young people, they think, hey, you know what? Oh, my flesh, it's just pushing me down. Then learn how to suit up. Learn how to fight. Learn how to kill the flesh. And this is what he said. He goes, you know, I'm 70-something years old. I can't remember how many numbers after the 70. But he said, you know, I'm 70-ish years old. And he says, it's still the same for me. Until you get to heaven, you got to suit up. Now, some of you sitting here, you say, well, why in the world did I get saved? Oh, my word, how depressing. Well, I mean, maybe it's depressing to you that you're going to heaven. All right, I understand you were going to hell and now you're going to heaven. I'm a little depressed. And say, oh, wait, I wasn't talking about that, but I'm saying in this life I have to fight. Yes, but now, guess what? I have a new life. I have a new new master, all right? I'm telling you, Freud here, all right? And then I have a new power, but I don't have to say yes, sir. I have been given the ability to fight back. And this is what you have to understand. Giving in to Satan, giving in to your flesh, and just saying, I'm just going to give up. I've met some of them. After 25 years in the ministry, I know a bunch of people that have just said, you know what, this is just who I am. This is what I just got to give up. And you know where they're at? They're enslaved. Nothing to their spiritual life. Nothing at all. Because you know what? Satan, giving in to him doesn't give you freedom. It makes you a servant, a slave. Because what did the Bible say in Romans 6? You're going to serve one or the other. That means you're going to be a slave to one or the other. You don't have freedom. And so you know what I found? Serving Christ. Oh, you may say that it brings bondage. But it doesn't. And after years and years and years of serving Christ, I can say it does bring freedom. But serving Satan, every time my flesh gets the better of me, I don't feel free. And there's a whole bunch of people that are saved in here. You're saying the same thing. Because you've given into that flesh. It doesn't bring you joy. It doesn't bring happiness. So what do I have to do? Number one, understand that this power is through Christ. Number two, the power then is manifested through the Spirit. Number three, I need then with this power to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And then number four, look at our text here. I didn't write these ones down, so we're going to try to find it. Look at what it says in verse 15. Oh, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, it goes through a couple of passages here. This is the next step then. How do I develop victorious Christian living? How do I develop this new power? I understand it's from Christ. I understand it's manifested through the Spirit. I understand that I've got to kill the deeds of the flesh. And then I need to develop this new relationship. Did you notice what he's doing? I'm a son of God. He's adopted me into his family. I have a new daddy. That's what I have. And when I'm adopted into that family, now do families have rules? Oh yeah, you come to my house, I'll torture you. I mean, you ask my kids, they're all twitch all the time. They got issues, therapists left and right. They got so many issues, they just twitch around. As you know what? Oh, I'm a bad daddy. Oh man, I'm a torturous man. All right, but guess what? In a home, you have rules, right? And so I come into God's house, and where do you get to understand the rules? Who tells them? Who defines them? God does. So sit down with God, your new father, and find out what he wants you to do. Learn the house rules. That only comes by building a relationship with your father. And this is what I know about God. God says, you draw nigh to me. Guess what he'll do? He'll draw nigh to you. You don't have, in this world, in this generation, we have a horrible representation today in home life of godliness. Why? Because as a dad, as a father, I'm supposed to be a representation of God the Father. And you know what? I know some really bad representations. But you know what? God, it says, never forsakes his own. You sit down with God, he wants a relationship with you. And he's given us, you know what he's done? This is what I can't believe. I don't understand it all, and I know I've studied it. I've studied this over and over and over. And in fact, in May, we had a special guest in, and man, he tried to lay it out for 5 hours how that God has preserved his word for us. I understand that I haven't. It just doesn't make sense that God loves me so much that he's given me this. So I don't have to just be out there. There's some religions that it's ridiculous, the word of the prophet. Have you read some of it? All right, have you read? I actually have studied some of the Quran. Oh, my word. It's ridiculous. I've looked at some of the Book of Mormon and some of the, wow. But you know what? I come to this. And I sit down with it, and it burns in my heart. It burns there. And as I stay away from it, it draws me back to it. And I want more of it, and more of it, and more of it. And it cleans me up, and that's what the Bible promises it'll do. Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? How are you supposed to be clean as a young man? How are you supposed to be clean as an imperfect individual in this life? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Develop a close relationship with your new father. And then lastly, then ask God. Let's turn to Galatians. It's the only passage then that we're going to look outside of this text. Look at Galatians. If you're wondering, that's the first, not the first, but it's after Corinthians, Galatians chapter 5. So then, what are we trying to do? We're understanding this new power. It comes from Christ. It's manifested through the Holy Spirit. It's asking me to do some action, and that is mortify the deeds of this flesh and then develop a close relationship with this new father I have. But then, ask God in verse 19. What is that? Galatians 5. That's the works of the flesh. Are they in your life? Analyze your life. Then in verse 22, look at, but the fruit of the what? Spirit. Ask God to produce that life fruit. The life of the Spirit produces something. What does it produce? And cultivate that life. Cultivate that heart. So all of a sudden, guess what's going to happen? Out of your life will blossom fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What is temperance? Self-control. Some of you, you say, you know what? I have tried. I've tried God's way. You say you got new life and I have a new master, and now you're saying there's new power. I've tried it. That's exactly what your answer is exactly right. You have tried it. And what I'm asking you to do is submit to the Spirit of God. Understand it. That's the new power. And in Christ, I can have victory. Go back to our text there in Romans 8. We'll close with this. Look at verse 28. Not 28, I'm sorry. Look at verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, what? Who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? And is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? And what does he say? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Conquerors. We have new power. There were some miners that had settled in British Columbia, and they were stripping a fort. It was called Fort Alcan, A-L-C-A-N. And in British Columbia, these miners were stripping this fort of the lumber, and they were going to take it and reuse it. Then they went through and they were going to just strip it all down, electrical appliances, plumbing, all of this. They were going to tear it down and kind of recycle it and see what they could get out of it. But guess what these miners, they made an amazing discovery. This is crazy. Fort Alcan was a jail for a long time. It was basically a prison house, a dungeon. While dismantling the jail, they found that the locks were unbelievable. And they looked it up, and they had spent all kinds of money in making these locks that nobody basically could get out by trying to pick them or anything. The locks were amazing. And then they were attached to these heavy doors. They said the doors, I mean, they were just monstrous. So here's these doors and these locks. But this is what the miners discovered. The heavy doors, the locks, the doors had 2-inch steel bar. I mean, it was just crazy what they put into these doors and locks. The windows. But this is what they discovered. The walls. The walls of the prison were made of clay and paper. The walls of the prison were clay and paper. They said the miners, they were, I mean, they're looking at these doors and these steel bars and all this. And then one of them, I don't know if it was by accident, he goes over and he hits the wall and his elbow goes through. I mean, they're going to kick the wall down. It was amazing. A good heave against the wall by a prisoner that was sitting inside, and guess what would have happened? The walls would have fell down. And nobody ever tried because nobody thought it was possible. Yep. Some of you in your flesh, there's a door sitting there. You say, it's not possible. I can't do it. You're right, you can't. But Jesus Christ came in, and with his resurrection power, basically the building is gone. He demolished it. But it's through his power, through his spirit, and there is some action. I need to mortify these deeds. Some of you, you're feeding your flesh. Man, you get an IV, you got a flesh IV. It's hanging right there and you just roll it around. Oh, I can't live without it. I can't live without it. Yes, you can. This new power that God has given us, it brings us conquering power. If God be for us, who can be against us? God help us to have this abundant life in this life. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.